Well, once again, thankful to be back with each of you. Ask for your prayers this morning. The Lord would meet with us and bless His Word. I'd like to speak to you this morning of something that I'll admit when I look at others, their life experiences, and I hear their testimonies or read their testimonies, I realize that I know not really that much about what I've written on the board. But I'd like for us, by the Lord's help, to consider the thought of enduring hardship. Enduring hardship. 2 Timothy, I'd like to begin the words of Paul. 2 Timothy, the second chapter. Beginning in the first verse. Paul said, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Paul writing unto Timothy, a young man that was following in the gospel work, wrote to him and said, "Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. If you're going to run this race, if you're going to fight these battles, if you're going to live for the Lord, you're going to have to be strong in the Lord." He said, endure hardness. Endure hardships. Be willing to go through some tough places. Be willing to endure them. Be willing to stand strong throughout them. But think about this morning Paul's vantage point as he wrote this. As I confessed at the outset, I don't believe it's something that I personally have experienced or know nearly as much about as Paul and others, the cloud of witnesses that have gone before. But Paul was writing from this vantage point, having received, he said, I believe, 195 stripes, beaten three times with rods, was stoned and left for dead. Three times he was shipwrecked. He said that he faced perils of robbers, perils of countrymen, perils of heathen, perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, watchings or sleepless nights often, fastings often, cold, nakedness, had no certain dwelling place, was reviled, was persecuted, was falsely accused. Anybody want to sign up? Whenever you see promotional posters for the armed services, it's usually with some degree of glamour to it. Maybe doesn't quite portray the hardships that are involved. But he said here, be a good soldier. If you're going to be a soldier of the Lord, if we're going to want to please Him who has chosen us to be a soldier, we're going to have to be willing to endure some hardships. To know that this life is not promised to be a bed of ease. It's not promised for everything to go our way. But we're going to face some hardships. It may be different than what the Apostle Paul faced. But every one of us are going to face some difficult places, some hardship in life. And he says, endure that. Brace yourself. Prepare yourself for it, Timothy. He said to him also in the first chapter, verse 7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. The Lord's called you to something. And he said, be partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. You too are going to be a partaker. You're called into this. But he's not given us the spirit of fear. We don't look into the future and the uncertainties of the future with fear and with dismay and with helplessness and hopelessness. But he's given us the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. So be prepared. Be ready. You know the Lord does not engage in bait and switch tactics or in deceit. He doesn't promise one thing and then deliver something else. He warns us. And Jesus, too, those who desire to follow him, said, you want to follow me? Do you realize that I don't have a place to lay my head? If you follow me, you're going to have to take up your cross and deny yourself. And Paul's saying here unto Timothy, look, if you want to work for the Lord, you're going to have to endure some hardship. You're going to have to prepare yourself. You're going to have to be willing to be partakers. If you want to be a partaker of the glory of the cross, you're going to have to be a partaker of the sufferings of the cross. So he encouraged him and all of us, be a good soldier. Be prepared to endure some hardship. There is an illusion today, I guess has long been, that the blessing of the Lord equates to prosperity and easy times and things going well for you. And perhaps that's why the comforters of Job looked on him and his misery and his distress, and the question that came to their mind was, what has this man done wrong? Because if the Lord's blessing is upon you, surely you wouldn't be going through all of this. It must be suffering because of some evil or wrong that you've done. But we see the other side of the veil, even in the book of Job. A little bit of what was happening behind the scenes when the Lord said, have you considered my servant Job? There's more to this. The Lord allowed that, and he allowed it for a purpose in Job's life. And it was to the glory of God. I face, as we're in other parts of the world, we came across this so often, that people are wanting messages of prosperity. The Lord had given had a little New Year's Eve service. The Lord had given a message that to a brother that joined us, I believe, was very fitting, very needful, a message of examination, of reflection, of consideration of where we're at. And there were some people in the crowd that murmured against it, didn't really care for that, hoping for something else on a New Year's Eve, because they're accustomed, many people, many times, to having an exciting event and having something. They said they were looking for prophetic words of blessing, that they want somebody to come and to speak over them words of blessing and prosperity and health and wealth, and God's going to bless you this year and you're going to have an abundance and all of those kind of things. You know, there is a blessing of the Lord. There is a blessing that comes in following the Lord. But what we see in the scripture is that Jesus himself faced hardship the likes of which I've never faced. The Apostle Paul faced his share of hardships and will be called to face our share as well. So what do we do with our hardships? Let's look at the book of John, 6th chapter. John chapter 6, the 26th verse. Jesus answered those who had been searching for him and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. He said, you're not following me because you've been convinced. You're not following me because of conviction of your soul. You're following me because you ate the loaves and the fishes. You received the blessing of the Lord in a temporal sense, and that's what you want more of. Think about the prosperity of the age in which we live, especially in our nation. You know, there have been so many technological advances that have been made that have been a blessing. Things that have been geared to making our lives easier, reducing the amount of work or inconvenience or hardship that we may encounter. You see people over in other countries have got a stone block. They pour water and a little bit of soap on that and they slap their clothes across it and wring their clothes on it. Many of us have a machine. We dump our clothes in and push a button and an hour later it's ready. It's a convenience. It's a blessing, the things the Lord has given us. And I don't believe it's for us to lament the blessings that He's made available. But think about what it's done to us as a society. Technology and advancements, modern age that we've lived in and its developments have been geared at reducing hardships. Been geared at really trying to eliminate it. And again, I don't think that we just voluntarily sign up for hardships because there will be a blessing in and of itself in hardship. But there is a danger, I think, to us and our mindset if we're not careful, that we want to avoid anything that looks like hardship or inconvenience or difficulty. Thinking a little more about this idea that people sometimes may have, that if you're living for the Lord, He's going to make your way easy. And if things aren't easy, then something must be wrong. Psalm 73, Asaph here writing, and said, "Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious of the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, and their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish." And he looked at that and he considered the state of the wicked. And he considered how it seemed like they had every convenience. It seemed like things were going well for him, that they were in prosperity. Their eyes stood out with fatness and all of that. And then he contrasted that with his own condition. He said in the 12th verse, "Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning." So as he looked at their condition and he compared it to his own, it seemed like although they were wicked and choosing a path of destruction, that their way was easy. And it seems like that they had everything going well for them. And then he looked at his own condition and his own state, and every day he was chastened and there was some problem or difficulty, and in his mind it just didn't seem fair. It just didn't seem right. If the Lord loved me, then why would I go through this kind of difficulty whenever they over there have everything going for them? You know, the enemy, when he comes along and points things out, he never tells the whole story. And Asaph wasn't seeing the whole story. He saw their lack of trouble and adversity, or so it appeared. But he said, "I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation? As in a moment they are utterly consumed with terrors." And he said that his heart was pricked. Whenever he considered therein, he said, "So foolish was I and ignorant." You know, my way is not so bad after all. Whenever he stopped and he considered his lot and his future compared to that of the wicked, He had a different perspective. Let's look at Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Hebrews chapter 12. Beginning in verse 1, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin." When you become wearied in your mind, consider Jesus. Look unto Jesus and what he endured, what he went through. It said you haven't yet reached that level. He goes on to say that you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. "My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees." Oh, don't become wearied. Don't become faint when adversity comes. When difficulty comes, or when chastisement comes, when the Lord allows adversity and reverses and things to not go the way that I hoped for them to go, be willing to endure chastening. Be willing to endure some hardship in our walk with the Lord. It can be frustrating. We can sometimes be disappointed whenever we ask the Lord for something. And I don't know about you, but it's not been very often that I've asked the Lord, "Lord, please send some hardship my way. Lord, would you please send some difficulty? Would you send something that's hard for me?" But you know, the Lord knows that we have need of hardship. The Lord knows what we would become if we never had hardship to deal with in our lives. And so the Lord, as a loving Father, is willing and loves us enough to send our way what he sees we need. Let's look at song number 456 in our hymnal. The last verse says, "For too well thy Savior loves thee to allow thy life to be one long, calm, unbroken summer, one unruffled, stormless sea. He would have thee fondly nestle closer to his loving breast. He would have that world seem brighter where alone is perfect rest. His concern for us is not as much the comforts of this life as it is securing our entrance to the comforts of the next. It's not as much for us having ease and everything going our way here." He says he loves us too much. So if then our tendency is to not ask for adversity, to not ask for hardship, but the Lord loves us enough to know that we need hardship, you know, that means there will be times that the Lord sees fit to not answer our prayers in the way we had hoped. Whenever I ask for healing, whenever I ask for this trial to pass, whenever I ask for this problem to be avoided and this thing to be bypassed, the Lord loves us enough to know that sometimes that's the very thing that I need. And it calls us. It calls us to be sons. He calls us to be soldiers. He calls us to have the mindset that He's not promised us just blessing as the world thinks of blessing. The blessing of the Lord, the scripture says, maketh rich and adds no sorrow to it. You know, as I read this in Hebrews, I think blessing looks like more than what the world thinks of as blessing. Scripture says that the Lord gave the children of Israel their request, and they also got leanness in their soul. So was that blessing? Was the thing they had asked for blessing? You know, there's a deeper blessing for which we live. And it's not just the temporal blessings. Oh, there are so many blessings. Spoke with them there in Sri Lanka in our last day or so with them about the many blessings that we have in following the Lord. And this inheritance that we have with the Lord. He's given us so many benefits in serving the Lord. Whenever you're considering a job, maybe a career change or occupation, many times you want to know what are the benefits of this job? What do you offer in terms of maybe health care and vacation and retirement and pay and those sorts of things? You know, when we stop to count the blessings of the Lord, in following the Lord, they're more than can be numbered. The Lord's protection and His watchful care, the healing that is available unto us. The Lord gives health care plans. The Lord gives retirement plans that are out of this world. The Lord provides for us in so many ways. Sends His angel to round about us, to camp about us, and to protect us, and to keep us, and on and on and on. The blessings of the Lord in following Him. But some of the richest blessings of the Lord come not just from times of ease, but in difficulty. You know, Elijah's servant would have missed the great blessing and revelation that he received when his eyes were open and he saw the mountains full of chariots, if there first hadn't been an army encamped around about him. And the blessing of the Lord so often comes through some difficulty, through some adversity, that the Lord first allows the difficulty and the adversity or the chastening. Those things that as a parent or as a father, we see, you know what, this is going to be good for our child. You know, sometimes it's the place of a father and even a mother to say, you're going to do this job. I know you don't feel like it. I know you'd rather do something else, but you're going to do this job and you're going to stick with it until you finish it. Maybe it's out in the summertime and you're hot, but you're going to stick with this until you finish it. And it teaches us as children, it teaches us something of fortitude. It teaches us something of the value of hard work, of finishing a thing. You're going to learn how to do what Paul said, quit ye like men. You're going to learn that not just from reading words. You're going to learn that by the Lord sending things our way that teach us what it means to quit ye like men. To teach us what it means to hold on, to endure, to persevere. So he said, if you endure chastening. And it says that no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness, with a condition, unto those that are exercised thereby. Unto those that are willing to submit to the chastening of the Lord and allow it to work in their lives, it'll yield a peaceable fruit unto us. Think of what Paul said as he was writing unto Timothy there. As Paul's perspective had been changed, you don't see Paul just grumbling and complaining. You know, I'm doing all this for the Lord. I'm working for the Lord. That's all I'm trying to do here. And this is what I get in return. Paul said in one place, I most gladly therefore would spend and be spent for you. Though the more I love you, the less I be loved of you. It seemed like the more I do for you and the more I love you and the more the worse I'm treated by you. He experienced that of people. He experienced rejection. He experienced what it was to not be liked, to not be appreciated, to have people talking behind his back about him and trying to undercut and undermine him and all of that. Some of what he wrote in his epistles were defenses. You know what I've, the example that I've set before. You know how I've lived before you. These accusations brought against me, I commit those to the Lord. Paul knew what it was to endure some hardship. And he had a perspective in his endurance that is a challenge to me. Let's look in Colossians, the first chapter. I want to look at a little bit of this perspective that Paul adopted. Colossians 1. Beginning in 23, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. You know, I think Paul was doing what we were instructed there in Hebrews. Look unto Jesus. Consider him which endured such adversity and difficulty, contradiction of sinners against himself. Consider him when you become wearied and discouraged and weighed down by the difficulties and the adversities that you're going through. Paul said here that I rejoice in my sufferings. He said, for you. It was about more than the Apostle Paul. His perspective was about more than just one of even self-pity of his own condition. But he looked on that and he submitted to that and he said, this isn't just for my sake. But the Lord's working in this for other people's benefit as well. And he said, I rejoice in that. And as he was writing unto Timothy, he said, don't be ashamed of me. Don't be ashamed of my afflictions. The prisoner of the Lord. He didn't consider himself to just be victim of people and circumstances and bad luck and all of that. But I am a prisoner of the Lord. And as he submitted to hardship and adversity in his life, the Lord was able to use that, he said, for the furtherance of the gospel. Are we willing to allow the Lord to use some hardship in our lives for the furtherance of the gospel? For the advancement of our own spiritual growth and of others around us? He said, when I consider Christ, he said, I'm way behind. I'm way behind what he suffered. And this, the afflictions of Christ in my flesh, it's not nearly filled up compared to what Christ experienced. So let us consider him who endured the things that he endured. Whenever the enemy would come along and suggest to us, you know, maybe there's just nothing to this. You know, why isn't there the kind of healings and answers to prayer? And I think it's good for us to consider and to pray and seek the Lord. Lord, is there something in my life that would hinder you from being able to work? But I also have to realize that the Lord is coming back for a people who are willing and able to endure some adversity. Because, folks, we don't realize what's on the horizon, I believe. Don't know how soon the Lord is coming back. But if he tarries his coming for very long, folks, we got some hardship coming. We got some adversity coming. And the Lord in his mercy knows how to prepare his people for adversity, for difficulty. If I try to short circuit too much the Lord's plans for me, and I try at any cost to avoid and to shirk and to get out of difficulty or adversity, I don't want it, I'm not willing, I'm going to grumble my way out of it, then how am I going to be prepared for what is coming? I think, if I can put it this way, This is just boot camp for what's coming. This is preparation time. The Lord's wanting to prepare us. I've never been through boot camp, and I frankly don't advise it for a child of God. Our warfare is spiritual warfare. But the Lord wants us to be enrolled in His boot camp. The Lord wants to prepare us. He's called us to be soldiers of the cross. And soldiers aren't folks that are just there whenever the people are applauding and there's parades down Main Street and all of that and the glory is there. He calls us to be soldiers in the trenches, soldiers in the cold, when it's wet, when there's denial, self-denial, and there's hardship and adversity. He's looking for a people who can endure, who can still stand when the difficulty comes, that aren't going to shrink and melt whenever adversity comes our way. Jeremiah, the 12th chapter. I want to look at something here that we quote from time to time. Jeremiah 12, in the 5th verse, says, "If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace, wherein thou trustest, they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of the Jordan?" I'm challenged by this, because the idea here is, you haven't seen anything yet. And if you're discouraged and faint and thinking about giving up and just can't get through what you're going through right now, that's the footman. If you've run with the footmen and they've wearied you, then how are you going to contend with the horses that are coming? That's your preparation time, to learn how to endure some hardship, to learn how to run with the footmen and not say, "Oh, I'm just out of breath. I'm done. I'll be sitting back on the bench." Lord, help me to learn how to run with the footmen. And this looks different, I think, in every one of our lives. Who are your footmen? What are your footmen? What are those places in your life that you have to contend with now? That you're having to race against? What is it that is perplexing you today? What is it that, put it in our modern vernacular, just drives you crazy sometimes? You think it could be a footman? You think the Lord sends some footmen our way sometimes to teach us to run? You know, you build endurance not by sitting on a couch and reading about it. You build endurance by practice. You build endurance by getting out there and doing it. And the Lord builds our spiritual endurance. He prepares us for the hard times that are coming. Not just by reading about it. That is important. But by exercising ourselves in those chastenings that the Lord sends our way. If we will be exercised thereby, if we'll allow them to work in our lives, what the Lord is sending them for, and not just short circuit it and bypass it and think that the life of a Christian should be all blessing, should be all nothing but good. After all, the Lord has healing. Do we believe that? Do we believe there's healing in the stripes that's on Christ's back? Absolutely there is. But what think you in light of what we're talking about here? In a time where we have so many modern conveniences, at the push of a button, we can have so much of what we want. With the swipe of a card, we can have almost anything we want. What's the Lord going to use to be able to exercise us, to exercise our faith? What's He going to use to teach us dependence on God? You know, just with that one example, if we run to the arm of flesh for the healing of our bodies, folks, we bypass some things the Lord wants to teach us in His Word. We say, "Well, the Lord protects us. The Lord provides. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Lord, I just want the cattle off of 900 of them. That's all I'm asking. But Lord, I want some prosperity and some advancement and some promotion." And You think the Lord is willing sometimes because he loves us to say, my child, I'm going to send a footman your way. I'm going to send a reverse your way. I'm going to send some adversity. I hear your prayer. I know that's what you want. But I also know this is what you need. Are we willing like Paul? When we hear the words, my grace is sufficient for you, to rather glory in our infirmities and to rejoice in adversity. I realize the weight of the things that I'm saying, and I say, Lord, help me, because I don't know what's in tomorrow. And I don't think I'm alone in our day and time and in our nation saying, I'm pretty spoiled. I look at the way other folks have to live and some of the things they have to endure. You know, it can be a hardship sometimes when somebody laughs at me. It can just seem a real trial when somebody is rude to me. And I have to battle an attitude over that kind of thing. What am I going to do in the swelling of the Jordan? What am I going to do when folks are persecuting me? What am I going to do whenever somebody's standing over me with a whip and for no cause? Unjust. That's what Paul experienced. He was stoned. He was going only for their good and the advancement of the gospel, which was for their good. And yet the treatment that he received in return was to be stoned. I tell you what, it's time to take them to court. It's time to sue. Paul said, oh, I'm a prisoner of the Lord. And this has fallen out rather for the furtherance of the gospel. And he endured hardship. He endured some perils. He endured some adversities and difficulties and mistreatments and all of that. He was willing to go through it. And endurance is about more than just gritting your teeth with impatience in your heart, resentment and bitterness. But Paul rejoiced in the things that he went through. I say, Lord, help me. Because I am in so many ways in this time spoiled. And sometimes I can be prone to grumble whenever I want to be a little extra spoiled and it doesn't happen. Or I ask for a little more on this area or in that line and the Lord doesn't see fit to answer that prayer. This thing happens to me in life, and the Lord's challenged me before when I've had this mindset, that would happen to me. Yeah, of course. That would have to break down right now. As if that's the only thing that ever happens to me is just bad and trouble and adversity. Oh, of course, there it is again. And the Lord's checked me and said, Clint, you are so blessed. I have so many things that have been given that other folks in the world, I don't know, my perspective right now, maybe haven't seen some of the poverty of people that in other places of the world. Well, I'll tell just one. We gave some ministers an offering. I'm almost ashamed to say how much. But it was some new ministers we hadn't worked with. Came out for a minister's meeting, gave them a little something to help with travel expenses, things like that. $12, equivalent of $12. And they were so thankful and just rejoicing and sent messages later that was such a blessing to them that they were surprised, they were shocked when they opened them because the biggest that they were accustomed to receiving was half that amount. And I think $12, $6. Lord, I'm so blessed. So what am I doing with it? Do I thank the Lord or do I take it for granted the blessings of the Lord in temporal ways and spiritual ways and physical ways, the blessings of the Lord over and over? Whenever I have an ache, do I thank the Lord for the days that I haven't had aches? Lord, you've been so good to me. And so he calls us to endure. My child, I'm going to call you to endure a little hardship here. And it'll teach you something. It'll train something in you. it'll strengthen you. The thing about Joseph, I believe the psalmist, the way he wrote it, he said he was laid in iron, and the Hebrew for that seems to indicate the iron entered into his soul. You know, through chains, through adversity, through things that we maybe would never sign up for, the Lord causes some iron strength to be built that wouldn't come any other way. But the Lord loves us enough to say, my child, I know you need this. You don't know what's ahead of you, but I'm going to send this your way right now to prepare you for what's coming, to prepare you for what's ahead. So I want to encourage us this morning. Every one of us will have our adversities, our trials, our hardships. It's not for us to compare ourselves among ourselves. Some folks' adversities appear to be worse, and some folks' lot in life appears to be easiest. Lord, help me with my lot in life. Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance. Help me to make the most of what you've given me. Lord, what do you have in this for me? Lord, teach me. Strengthen me. Strengthen my resolve. Strengthen my endurance. It's one of the things that athletes train for is endurance. You're not going to go out and run a marathon after having lived a sedentary lifestyle. It's just not going to work for you. You're going to have to train and condition your body probably a half mile at a time, or maybe for me, 100 yards at a time, that you're going to have to push through. Feeling tired, gasping for breath, maybe your lungs burning. Oh, I want to stop. And you push through that. And then tomorrow you can run a little bit further. And then you keep doing that consistently and faithful. And over time, you can run the 2 miles, the 3 miles, up until you get to the 26 miles. Endurance. The Lord wants us to be able to have some endurance in this life. Not just whenever the saints are singing the songs of praises in camp meeting time. That's so wonderful and we enjoy it so much. But you know, there's some enduring seasons too. That the Lord wants to teach us some patient endurance. We're in a winter season. You know, the Lord wants to teach us some endurance through the winter season. Not just a camp meeting experience of maybe highs and lows, but the Lord wants to teach us some endurance. And it's going to come by these little things, these little footmen that the Lord sends our way. Let us say, Lord, help me to be exercised by this. Lord, teach me what you want to teach me here. Lord, help me to be able to endure this with patience and with grace, and to be able to get out of it what you have for me. And I find as I do that, little by little, there's something that's strengthened inside of me. There's some iron that starts to be built. There's some endurance. I look back at some of the things that I called trials in my childhood, and I laugh at them now. And I think, boy, you thought that was rough. But what things might I in the future look back on Clint in 2024 and say, you thought that was rough. You thought that was some tough going. Look at where you're at now. But the Lord is so faithful to prepare us, to try to equip us for the times that are coming. We've got to be willing to submit, to yield ourselves to the Lord's dealings through these things so that He can build endurance in us to be able to withstand more than just short sprints, more than just a week or two at a time, more than just while the camp meeting season is ongoing, but to be able to endure for the long haul, to endure some adversity. And it's not just the big things. How can I endure the big things until I've learned to endure the little things? How can I endure the real tests and trials until I've learned how to endure some emotions of sadness, of just kind of feeling weighed down, and to be able to endure and push through that and say, I'm not going to allow myself to be sidetracked and bogged down. I'm going to endure this. I'm going to push through this. And it strengthens and it teaches us something, that whenever Some real trials do come. I look back and say, I needed that. This prepared me to be able to endure. And whenever people maybe ridicule me for the way I'm dressed and things that I won't go and do, when I endure that in the right way and not try to hide who I am as a saint of God and hope maybe just nobody will find out, but when I endure a little bit of that, it strengthens something in me that I'm going to need if persecution ever does come. Because if the fires of persecution come and I haven't been able to take a withering look or an insulting comment, what am I going to do? So I want to encourage us. Lord, help us that we endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, and ask that you pray for me that I would be a good soldier as well.